from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, Pixar animator Bobby Rubio joins us. When Rubio's son was diagnosed with autism, Rubio says he didn't handle it well. His short film Float, about a boy who can fly, is based on Rubio's journey to accept and celebrate his son's abilities. Then the highly anticipated play Harry Potter and the Cursed Child opened this month in San Francisco, featuring never-before-seen special effects in a stage production. We'll check in with the magic designer and the actors who play Harry and his son Albus. That's all next on Forum. Join us. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim in for Michael today. If you became a subscriber to Disney's new streaming service, you might have come upon a Pixar short film released last month called Float. It begins with a young father full of love and pride for his baby son. But the father's emotion soon turned into worry, embarrassment, even fear, when he realizes that his son is different, that his son can fly.
Why can't you just be normal?
The short film reflects the complicated emotions of having a child or a family member that's seen as different. And we're joined now by the director of the film, Bobby Rubio. Welcome to Forum, Bobby Rubio.
I mean, it's great to be here.
And we're also joined by the producer of the film, Chrissy Kubaba. Welcome to Forum, Chrissy Kubaba.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Well, thank you for being here. And Bobby Rubio, the struggling father in the short film is you.
It is me.
And you do have a son deemed, quote, different. Tell us about your son, Alex.
Okay. My son, Alex, is on the autism spectrum. And the story is based off of my relationship with him. I was struggling when the diagnosis first came up. And
how old was Alex at that time?
Alex was 2.5. And when it happened, my wife said, you know what, you got to tell this story because you're a story artist. And then she said, maybe you should do a comic book because that's what I do outside of Pixar. I make my own comics. And I drew this cover of this father and his son. And the father, they're standing in a field of dandelions, and the son is floating. And the title was Alex. And the tagline of the comic was A Father's Journey and a Special Child. And I tried to do the story, but emotionally I wasn't ready. And fast forward to just 3 years ago. Let me say that when I first started it, it was 8 years ago when my son was first diagnosed. And then so now time was progressing and I was looking at my son and he's starting to turn into a man. And I felt like I have to tell the story, not just for me, but for people that went through what I went through. So,
what did you go through? You mentioned that you were struggling.
Yeah.
What was the and you even said that you didn't handle it well.
Okay. I mean, if I'm being honest, I went through a depression. I remember the diagnosis happened when my son, around Christmas time, and my brother came by for a family visit, and they noticed that I wasn't playing with Alex. Like, they're like, Bobby, what's going on? You're huddled in your bedroom. What's going on? And I eventually told them about Alex, but it took me a while to accept my son's diagnosis.
The decision to make him fly, mm-hmm. and for this, the metaphor for the differences to be float, why did you choose floating?
I think it was a visual that we liked. We wanted something that you could automatically notice between a child, a typical child, and Alex. I mean, a visual of a floating child automatically makes him different. And also, I just love the beauty of it. Yes. I just thought it was really cool.
Chrissy Kababa, it feels like floating is a characteristic that is relatively free from judgment, that it is beautiful, but also very noticeable. So it's not something that, you know, you wouldn't just see and miss.
Right. Yes. I mean, part of the reason of the floating, I think, is so powerful is because, as Bobby says, it not only makes Alex immediately different from the other kids in the neighborhood in the film, but it also has a connotation of superpowers and something unique. And we wanted to make sure that we weren't portraying Alex's difference as something less than, as something, something that was 100% bad and negative. So that's also a reason why we picked floating.
That said, you did portray the people in the neighborhood who initially saw Alex float mm-hmm. as a little bit of shock. As shocked, almost a little bit annoyed by it or worried about it. And I was struck by the fact, Bobby Rubio, that you live in the Bay Area, right?
I do.
You live in Oakland.
I do live in Oakland.
Were you reflecting the Bay Area community around you and how they were responding to Alex?
You know what? I think I was to a degree. Definitely, I wanted the community to reflect what I see out there. So when you do look at Float, you notice that it's a very diverse population. I have different races, ethnicities in the park. But I also want to point out that the people in the park reacted same way that they reacted to my son, Alex, when I was ever in the park. And I've told this to my crew. There's four reactions that I got. One was one of genuine wanting to help me or just was empathetic to my situation. The second was kind of condescending, like, oh, it must be tough to have a kid on the spectrum. It must be really tough. The third is just kind of neutral, just doesn't really matter. And then the fourth is, why did you bring your kid to the park? You're interrupting my time with my children. I can't believe you would do that. So I would like people to go back and watch the short, and you will notice that there are those four reactions. It's not just one or the other. It's the nuances that we played with.
We're talking with Pixar animator and director Bobby Rubio about his short film Float, about a boy who can fly. It was produced by Chrissy Kababa, who's also with us in studio. Rubio's son was diagnosed with autism, and the film is based on Rubio's journey to accept and celebrate his son's abilities. And what are your thoughts or questions or comments for our guests? You can call us at 866-733-6786. They're here with us for the opening half hour of our 10 o'clock hour, so the time to call is now, 866-733-6786. You can also post your questions or comments on Facebook, Twitter, email us at forum@kqed.org. Well, immediately we've got Rodessa writing, just watched this today and it had me in tears.
Oh, that's so sweet to hear.
And Jessica writes, I loved this Pixar short. I sobbed the whole time. Chrissy Kababa, do you think that this sense of celebrating differences, realizing that, you know, neurodiversity can be a superpower to some extent and putting the light on it, that is changing in our region?
I would like to think so. I mean, I think that there are more people talking about neurodiversity and with children with different abilities. I would like to think that as we are trying to reach out to people of different religions and races and beliefs that and ethnicities and all the diversity that we have in the Bay Area, that we start to embrace that also, you know, psychological differences as well and neuro differences as well.
And this is Pixar's first film centered on Filipino-American
characters. It is, yeah. We're super proud about that. And Bobby should tell you the story because that almost didn't happen.
Right. Bobby, yeah. You initially envisioned the characters as white?
Yes. It's exactly the cover that I had drawn was the characters were Caucasian. And it's because I guess it's my unconscious bias that I was like, oh, of course they should be white. I didn't occur to me that they could be Filipino-American. And it wasn't until a coworker was looking at the cover and also my storyboards that I had done for Float, and she's like, why are the characters white? And I was like, well, I don't know. And then she said, how is Alex going to feel when you look up and it's a white character? And so that hit me, and I just like, okay, from this point on, I don't want Alex to think that I'm ashamed of him. I wanted to empower Alex and children of color. And so from that point on, the characters were Filipino American.
Well, let's go to some of our callers. Jessica in Oakland. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am a parent of a child with special needs as well, and hers end up showing up in behavioral issues when we are especially out in public. So I appreciate that you are able to speak on a platform that not many of us get a chance to, and that you are showing the importance of reactions of people in the community to how it makes the family dynamic work as well as the child. I know there have been many instances where people may have had the best of intentions, but it ends up making the situations more difficult to deal with, whereas sometimes just a smile and a nod and the acknowledgement would be more helpful than trying to impose their will on you and your family and not being able to understand that, you know, just difference doesn't make it bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jessica, thank you for that. And Thurman tweets, essential for every parent to avoid trying to make their child into something they aren't and accept their child for who they are. Better still if parents can find joy in the difference. If you lead by example, sooner or later, they become more like you anyway. And really, this is such a universal message across any differences. In your case, Alex is on the autism spectrum.
Yes.
But I think one of the reasons that you're getting strong emotional reactions from people and also people are able to connect with what you're experiencing as a parent is because it can apply really to any differences.
Yeah. And actually, when we were making the short, some of our crew members would talk about how they related to the short, even if their child wasn't on the spectrum or didn't have any kind of difference that was noticeable like that. So it was I do think that the story is reaching a universal audience, and hopefully parents are seeing themselves in it a little bit.
And in particular, it sounds like you have been getting a very supportive response from the Filipino-American community, Chrissy Cavava.
That's been really great. We've been getting a lot of social media love and a lot of people reaching out to say how excited they are to see people that look like them on the screen and in animated form. People have been sending us pictures of their kids or their relatives that look like our characters in the film, and that's been really great to see.
Yeah, was there ever a moment where you were like, oh yeah, we got to add this because this is just so Filipino?
Yeah, there's a couple little Easter eggs in there for anyone who watches the film with an eagle eye, so you'll see some stuff for sure. Yeah.
I mean, the bowl cut. I mean, I think people
the bowl cut on the child.
On the child, like, oh, okay, that's me. That's every Filipino kid.
Yeah.
And as Chrissy had said, there is definitely some Easter eggs that people have looked for and found. So it's cool.
And we did spend quite a lot of time when we were designing the characters to make sure that they felt and looked Filipino. You know, we did work on the facial features, and of course, not all Filipinos look the same. Not all of us look the same, but we did try and capture some essence of that.
Right. Like we tried. I mean, I guess I was looking at myself. So to bring some authenticity, I wanted the skin to be darker. I wanted the nose to be flatter, almond eyes, thicker lips. So I felt like, okay, at least, you know, we have a base to start off of, and then and if it looks authentic at the end, then that's fantastic.
Well, let me bring Muhammad in Concord into the conversation. Hi, Muhammad in Concord. Join us.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm really I have watched the short. It was amazing. And the question that I have is, what was the turning point from a depressed father to an accepting father? What happened? Yeah, I'm really curious.
Muhammad, thank you. We have awesome listeners. They ask the best questions. Yeah. Bobby Rubio?
The turning point is when the father looks at his son after he's sobbing, and the father looks at him for the very first time. For years have passed, and he finally looks at him and he realizes that if we keep on going down this path, you're going to be miserable, I'm going to be miserable, and if we get out of this park right now, our lives will just continue on this dark path. But if I choose another way, then we can continue on and thrive and then be happy again. So the turning point was definitely the father looking at his son for the very first time.
Well, Adam writes, "Dads and moms are the only people we will ever have through our entire life who give us unconditional love and support no matter who we are. I sure miss them both." You know, Bobby Rubio, this is a story about you and your son, and I can't think of anything that makes me feel more vulnerable than putting myself or my children out there. When did you feel most vulnerable with this story? Was it, you know, like when you first pitched it to the Pixar folks or the day that it was released? Like, when were you just like, oh, my God?
I feel like it's a gauntlet of emotions. Like, yes, during the pitching, I did wanted to see if people actually if the story resonated with anybody. I guess that's what's great about the Spark Shorts too, because we are allowed to.
Spark Shorts is a division of Pixar.
Yes, it's brand new. And Chrissy could speak on that. You want to?
Well, why don't you finish your story?
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it being a Spark Short, and I was allowed to tell my story without anybody coming in and editing it or changing it in any kind of way.
Or watering it down.
Or watering it down, right. I was like, okay, I have this opportunity to talk to millions of people and affect families that were like mine, and I want them to know that they are seen and they are understood. And I know, because when I went through it, I felt alone. And I wanted people to know that they aren't. We're in this journey together. So, it's a gauntlet of being vulnerable, like bringing it out to Pixar and then it coming out and you're like hiding, wondering what people thought about it. And I'm grateful that it's been a positive response, and I'm grateful for the communities that. The autism communities, all sorts of communities, the LGBTQT community, who also felt a connection to the short Filipino-American community, just every community that has come about, I definitely appreciate it.
Well, let me go to Alex in San Jose next. Hi, Alex.
Hi. My name's Alex. I haven't seen the short yet. But I'm also a Bay Area native and a Filipino American parent of a person with autism.
Okay.
And my experience I would have to say a little different from what you've experienced. But I wanted to know how much of the of your initial misgivings or guilt or shame was formed or influenced by Filipino culture or Asian culture towards people who have disabilities, because there's definitely a recurring theme in that.
Yes, for sure. I know that in our community, we try to hide it and bury it. And like, I know some family members were, when my son was first diagnosed, they were like, "Nah, he looks fine. What are you talking about? Hey, he'll outgrow that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." And I was like adamant, like, no, I feel that Alex is different and I want to get him help. I don't want to just sit on this. And I want to share that advice with everybody out there. If you suspect that your child might be on the spectrum, just get them tested. Because early intervention is key, and if he or she is not, then that's fine. But if he or she, your child, is on the spectrum, then at least you can begin the process and start learning with your child on how to interact with society?
Alex, thanks so much for that question. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the division of Pixar Spark Shorts that is being more experimental and willing to tackle some of these subjects. And Christy, as I understand it, Pixar has another Spark Short on this subject, though from a completely different angle?
Yes, that's true. There's another Spark Short called Loop that will be released on Disney Plus on January 10th. That one actually features the two characters in it are teenagers, and one of the teens is a nonverbal autistic girl. So that one I also produced, and so sort of coincidentally, that wasn't an intended joining, but yeah, that one's coming out in January.
And tell us a little bit about what you learned through that approach. I mean, from having engaged with this topic and how to approach it as a producer.
It has been really fascinating and a great journey for me. I hadn't had much experience with autism before working with Bobby and working with the other director, Erica Milsom. But, you know, I now have two angles on it because I have a lot of, you know, Bobby and I have talked a lot about what his experience was as a parent. And then the other side of it was learning really how to work and how to be respectful in that portrayal of an autistic character. The actress that we hired to play the character is herself autistic and largely nonverbal, and learning how to work with her and her support system and her family. We had some consultants from the Autistic Self Advocacy Network to help us navigate. And so I really learned a lot about representation and
inclusion.
And inclusion and authenticity and, you know, being true and honest and respectful at the same time.
Well, looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Elizabeth in Novato, join us for a quick last comment.
I just want to say thank you. Pardon me. My son, Will, is on the autism spectrum. He's 8 years old, and he is actually, his autism special interest is Pixar.
Oh,
oh, Elizabeth, thank you.
How meaningful this is for us.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Bobby, what was Alex's reaction to the short?
Alex is 12 now, so I think like a typical 12-year-old, he's just like, it's all right, Dad. Like, I don't think I could do anything. And, you know, a 12-year-old just, it's
typical
all right.
12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and we broaden the definition of what constitutes a typical 12-year-old.
Exactly. Right.
With the portrayals that you have created for us. Bobby Rubio, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Mina.
And Chrissy Kababa, thank you as well.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
Bobby Rubio is the writer and director of Float. Chrissy Kababa is the producer of Float. And this is a Pixar short on Disney's new streaming service. And thanks to our listeners for their questions and comments. Stay with us for another half hour. We're going to be talking Harry Potter next, so don't want to miss that.